How many of you have not received your piece of the puzzle? But Miss Holly, you can come up here and get your piece of the puzzle. Today's message is seeing the church. And today's an object lesson. I have notes, but I really sense the Holy Spirit is not. Can you see that, Lou? Okay. We'll turn it just a little bit. Any glare in there? Huh? Okay. I want you to use your imagination a little bit here in that this is Streams of Life. Okay? This is Streams of Life. According to how we see it. God sees it already complete. Okay? And when we come to Jesus Christ, all of us are a piece of the puzzle. See, I even have a piece. I'm a piece of this puzzle. And when we come to Jesus Christ, a lot of times we don't pay attention to the relevancy of the Word. And the Word is so important for us to get a picture of what God is trying to say to each and every one of us. So I'd ask you guys to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. And we're going to run through three or four scriptures quickly to help develop a picture of what God is doing in these days and just how important you are to God and to this fellowship. Amen? 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5 says, "Come to Christ, who is the living cornerstone in God's temple. He was rejected by the people, but he is precious to God who chose him. And now God is building you, a living stone, into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are God's holy priest who offer spiritual sacrifices that please him because of Jesus Christ." Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. "And so now, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens among all, along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. We are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. We who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you Gentiles are also joined together as part of the dwelling where God lives by His Spirit." 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 15 says, "And I am writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon, so that if I can't come to you for a while, you may know how the people must conduct themselves in the household of God. This is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and support of the truth." And 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11 says, "Don't you know that those who do wrong will have no share in the kingdom of God? But fools, don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin are idol worshippers, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexuals, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, abusers, and swindlers. None of these will have a share in the kingdom of God. There will be a time when some of you were just like that. But now your sins have been washed away and you have been set apart for God. You have been made right with God because of what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God has done for you." We're saying all that, and the apostles are telling us just how important we are. We're a piece of the puzzle before we even got saved. Amen? We just never realized it. And until someone shared the gospel with us, all we had was this distorted view of the church. Some of us even went to church. And a lot of times I like to pull pieces out of here, showing the holes of the foundation that's in our lives. We've gone to church because mom and dad went to that church. We've listened to all the doctrine because, you know, that's the party lines that we have to go by. Not asking whether it's scriptural that we do things. We just do it because it's always been that way. And of course, I'm going to relate some of my early experiences as a Christian. And I, unfortunately, for me, I tend to be that type of person that will question, why are we doing these things? You know, if it's not in the Bible, why is it happening? Some of you know part of my testimony. Part of my testimony is I was baptized into the Presbyterian faith at age 15. My parents didn't see any good for me to go to church, and so we didn't. I got married in the Presbyterian church, but I had no intention of staying in the Presbyterian church. And for the next 15 years, from age of 15 to age of 30, I had no real desire for God until one night I rolled my car down an embankment and compressed my car, and fortunately my family was safe in there. And I really saw what was of value to me, and I saw the hand of God, His tremendous mercy saved my family and myself from eternal damnation because I really was not committed to Him. And because of that, and after I had taken Irene to the hospital and she was taken care of because she was the one that was most severely hurt, Jack Daniels and I had a discussion and I committed my life to Christ, but Jack Daniels never did. You know, he's still stuck in a bottle. So you thought it was a real guy. It's just my liquor friend. But I realized I was a piece of the puzzle. And so I went back to the church and I tried to go into the church and I came out of the church and I went back into the church. And when I vacillate like that, I don't know what God has for me. I don't know what I can do. I don't know anything. And so I'm in here and I'm trying to fit in here, you know, trying to find my way into here. And I really don't have an idea what I can do for God in the church. And so what had happened was I was elected one time as an elder. Mind you, I just got saved. I just got saved. I was 6 months in the Lord and I got elected as an elder to the Presbyterian Church. And I knew that I shouldn't have been. But I was game. I said, God, okay, fine. And as I'm trying to find my way, I'm trying to figure out where I'm supposed to fit in this puzzle, I was open to everything that God wanted me to do. I had to be committed to the local fellowship. I knew that. I knew that my growth was predicated on me relating to Jesus Christ and to His people. I was aware of that. I was not aware of how that interpersonal relationships would develop me as a person in Jesus Christ. And so what would happen is we would go through these things and I was elected as an elder and I was responsible for benevolence. That was my responsibility. Madison's saying amen. She can't say it yet, but she's nodding. Okay. And so what had happened was, in my short time as being an elder, God spoke to me. And He told me what my calling was. He told me what I was going to become and how He was going to use me. And for the first time, I really realized that, you know what, I'm fitting in here somehow. Somehow this is going to be. And all of a sudden, it clicked. I fit into the church. I knew what God had called me. I didn't know how I was going to be used in that. I didn't know how I was going to get trained. But I knew I fit. How many of you don't know where you fit? You don't know how God wants to use you. You want to be used by God, but you're not really sure. Well, the best way of doing it is ask what can be done. I asked. And I was volunteered. I was elected as an elder, which I should never have been, according to the Scriptures. But what did I know? I'm brand new in the Lord. I'm doing what everybody else is saying. And so, of course, my first thing was I sent these letters out to benevolence. And benevolence really kind of first got me because I was really taking care of the missionaries out in the field. And so God said to me, He says, write letters to them asking them what their vision is for this year, what their vision is for the next 5 years, and ask them to give you an accounting as to their needs. And so I did. I sent out 7 letters to 7 missionaries, and I got 1 letter back. Actually, I got 2 letters back. 1 letter was sent to the pastor asking why I was asking them about the condition of their ministries and was offended that I would even ask. The other one sent back a letter of specific needs, was thankful that someone had taken the time to write to them and was looking for it because they had planned on coming to the church and give a presentation of what their ministry was out there. And this one family that was the Dreesens, and they had a mission where they were inland missionaries to the Native Americans, and they would travel roughly every Sunday about 1,000 miles ministering the Word of God. They would go to one airport, hop in a plane, fly for 45 minutes to a tribe, give a message there, another, you know, and every Sunday was like that. Just flying and ministering to Native Americans, preaching Christ and helping them in basic needs. And to this day, I still receive, every once in a while, letters from them telling me how their ministry is going and how thankful they are to God in that. And so what had happened was we had a meeting in there, and I recommended that we cut all funding from these missionaries. Of course, I was real popular then, you know. They're saying, what, we can't do that. And I said, why not? My Bible tells me I must be accountable. Why can't they be accountable? If we are giving money, we need to know what they're doing. And of course, I was shot down, and everyone voted on, we will continue supporting no matter what. And I said, okay, fine. You have to answer to God for it. I'm just a piece of the puzzle. And later on, we had a thing. Irene and I had received a vision from God about getting area churches together, and we called it to say amen. And that night was a time of getting the local churches together in a praise and worship time of gathering. And then we would serve communion. And we had to say amen thing. And it was wonderful. We had pastors come from churches that were divided. Come and have communion and be healed and repent to each other for things that they had done to one another, things that they thought about each other, how they had stolen or perceived to steal people from their churches and ministries were knocked and stuff. And it was a wonderful time. And so the following Tuesday, I had an elders meeting to go to, and needless to say, in the Presbyterian church, they weren't interested about spiritual things. We had one individual who was interested in maintaining the legalism of what was going on in the church. And as I was going to the meeting, the Lord spoke to me sovereign. He says, I do not want you to say a word in this meeting. Of course, I said, okay. I said, yes, Lord, no problem. And I went to the meeting, and all this guy did was he pulled out his thing. And mind you, this fella and his family had controlled the church as their own private little club. They were the ones that were going to tell everybody else how to step in line, because after all, and I'm not going to mention their names, but they had been in that church their family had been in that church for over 60 years. And because they were heavy tithers, they felt that they had the right to tell everyone else what to do. And so what had happened was he pulled out his briefcase and he brought out the bylaws and he said, according to this bylaw, you guys are in violation for this celebratory thing, and I'm not going to let my church continue in this type of behavior. Well, I heard the Holy Spirit tell me not to say a word, but you know what? I'm standing up for Christ. And I just said, can I ask one question? And he goes, yeah, sure. And I said, when did you die for the church? When did you pour out your blood and give you the right to say what you have to say about the church? All you are is stuck in legalism, and the Spirit of God wants to do some awesome things in here. And off I went into the Spirit, telling them that that had to stop. The rules and regulations were precisely only guidelines for how we're to operate. They were not to be mandated as the way to operate in the church. And needless to say, I was bucking the spirit of religion and tradition in there. And mind you, I'm only 6-7 months old in the Lord, and I'm doing this. Well, this person, after I had spoken my part on there, he was so red. He was redder than this piece of red in here. Slammed his stuff in his thing, packed up his, and out he went. Never to return. He sent a letter of resignation, said he had had enough. He had never been spoken to or and been treated so indignantly. And the rest of the elders come up there and patted me on the back. Said, this is a long time in coming. This person needed that. In the meantime, I'm like, ooh, I should have not said anything. God, forgive me. But I found my place. I knew I was to be a leader. I knew I was to stand up for righteousness. I knew I was to stand up for the Spirit of God. I knew that I had to be a voice in the wilderness. You have pieces of the puzzle. You are part of God's workmanship. But how do you fit? How do you fit into God's picture? Years ago, the kids gave me a puzzle. I love jigsaw puzzles. I love to put pieces together. And that's why I love ministry. I love to see how people's lives are so screwed up and see how God wants to put their lives together. If they will listen to the word of the Lord and do what God tells them to do. The problem with God's people is we're so busy running around here trying to figure out what's going on and saying, poor little me, poor little that, that we don't realize how important it is for us to hear from God and get involved. You see, we want to go to church. We don't want to be the church. And when you plug in, you become part of the church. And the picture that God wants to complete is not about you. Has nothing to do with you. Has everything to do in completing the picture that God wants complete. And we now have begun training some of the leaders. And I ask the leaders to come, put your pieces of the puzzle in here. And while they're doing this, notice that as they're finding their place and they're putting the pieces in, all of a sudden, the picture becomes a little more clear. Well, maybe not to Holly. You got to find it. You got to try it, girl. Well, you see, that's where the gift ministries come in. You know, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, teachers. There you go. Because you see, these gifts... Word. But can you see that once you respond, once you begin to respond to the Lord and you start looking to find a place, it doesn't matter. I mean, there are so many things that this little fellowship has that we do as leaders that you guys that are just twiddling around your pieces and coming to church instead of being the church, you could be serving too. And you're not serving us, you're serving Christ to help Him complete the picture. Can you see this? That's why you're here. That's why it's important that you understand to get plugged into the local church. And those who just want to go to church and not be involved will not allow the foundation, the border of the church. And the foundations are simply to give us the freedom. We have so much freedom within Christ to be all that we possibly can that we're constantly wanting to step over the bounds. And that's given to our sinful nature. We are rebellious. And we're not rebelling against mom and dad. We're not rebelling against the teachers or our bosses and all. We're rebelling against Jesus Christ. You see, He's trying to develop something beautiful in your life that He died for you. He paid His blood so that you could become part of His family. And when you sit there and you act like a 2-year-old crying, woe is me, and nobody understands me, and it's my fault that you know, this goes on, and it's your fault that that happens, and you know, we don't see how beautiful God has created us. And the beauty of it, it will only be complete as we get involved and say, you know what, I'm committed to the church of Jesus Christ. Whether it's the Presbyterian church, it's all still the church of Jesus Christ. You see, it doesn't matter what's over the door, Presbyterian, Baptist, you know. If you believe in Jesus Christ and He is the Son of God and He is God manifested in the flesh who lived for man and died once and then spent 3 days in the tomb and rose again from the dead, never to die again, but all those who believe now become heirs of the kingdom of God. You know, you can't be hopping in and hopping out. You can't be sitting there complaining about it. You can't be doing those things because once you get saved and the further you stay away from getting your foundations laid in your life, the more easily it is for you to become as decadent as the rest of the world. You see, we are to be different from the world. We are kings and priests. And that's why the scripture says, you know, if you're given into your carnality and you're idolaters or adulterers or fornicators or thieves, liars, stealers of things, you know, gossipers, abusers, all these kind and all the like that are evil in their heart will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's why I say once saved, always saved. You need to throw that out. You're only as saved as your relationship to Jesus Christ, which is involved with God's people. You can't have a relationship with Christ and not have a relationship with His people. They are synonymous because the church is His body. He is the head and we are the rest of it. And He wants to make a picture here for us to see. Now for those of you that are still wondering where your place is, you have a peace. And you have to determine what you're going to do with that peace. Are you just going to come here and attend church, get good teaching, and have, well, I think, pretty good worship, you know, and not serve? Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I got so much going on in my life. Well, that's because, you know, the truth of the matter is you make bad decisions. And that's why you got so much going on in your life. That's the truth. Because every decision, when we follow Jesus, He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. When you're following Him, He takes the load from you. He makes your life easy. It is Satan who wants to complicate your life. It is Satan who does not want you to help finish the picture. It's not God. God wants you to fit in. God wants you to place in here. He has a place for you in here. It's your responsibility to find it. It's your responsibility to seek and see what God has for you. Now, I'd ask you guys that if you're ready and you want to commit, you know, come up here. Put your pieces of the puzzle in. And it's okay if you feel uncomfortable and stuff. And, you know, I understand that. Not everybody's as soft and indirect as I am. But I want to encourage you. You know, just go ahead. Don't say you can't. Can't is not allowed in here. All right, door. Okay. Door's found her place. All right. Ed's got his place. But as you can see, as we fit, as we try to find our place in the church, God is completing the picture. It doesn't mean that we have to walk in perfection. It doesn't mean that we have to be the super Christian out there. What it means is we just want to learn how to love and be loved. We want to learn how to serve. We want to learn how to not live a lifestyle that is in direct opposition to what the kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God is love, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, of which dwells in us. If you don't have love, you don't have joy, and you don't have peace, you're not in the kingdom. That's just that simple. And you need to repent and get right with God. He said His yoke is easy. See, now this is great because it's a group project. We're all trying to help each other. And that's what the body of Christ is. We're family. And you have to realize that. You know, we're here to help each other, not... Oh, look how dumb this one is. Oh, gee, look, you know, they don't do this, they don't do that. You know, it's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's who you are and how you relate to God and relate to His people. Well, is it? You sure? You can't give up, because when you give up, you're not worthy of the kingdom.
Amber's like the dog's ear that dangles on the side.
Can you get it, Steve? Are these guys got pieces of up here?
Ooh, good eyes.
There you go. Okay. Well, that's all right. We don't have all day. You guys can figure it out later. Understand. Understand. The reason why these pieces don't fit is because God hasn't brought those people in here for us to connect with. That doesn't abstain us from the responsibility of still being placed in the body. We have a responsibility to find out what it is. And since we don't have those pieces in here to complete the project, where must those people be? Out there. And what did Jesus say? He said, now just sit in there and wait for them to come. Don't go to do anything. Just sit out there. Don't tell them about me. Sooner or later, they're going to come to your door and they're going to want me.
I don't think so.
My Jesus didn't tell me that. My Jesus said, go and preach. Tell them about me. Learn of me. Show them a different life. What is your life showing? Is your life showing a bunch of love and joy and peace? Or are you still acting like the infant that you are when you first received Jesus Christ? I'm not picking on anybody, because we all have our little idiosyncrasies and stuff, but we really need to objectively see that it is not anything about me. It's everything about God completing the picture. And when He completes the picture, we're out of here. We're out of here, church. That's why He tells us the harvest is white unto, or the fields are white unto harvest. And we need to get out there. We need to go and tell people about Jesus Christ. We need to tell them. Not that they're going to fit in this puzzle of streams, but they need to fit in the larger puzzle of the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide. There is a place for them. Now, they may come to streams for a little bit, and this may not be the piece for this puzzle. They may have to go to another fellowship and receive that which God has. That doesn't mean that we don't pour into them. That doesn't mean that we don't help them. It doesn't mean that, you're not part of this. Throw it away. No one in God's eyes is throwaway. No one. No one has the right to throw their lives away. No one has the right to determine what they're going to do with their life outside of Jesus Christ. They just think they do. In Jesus Christ, we've come to realize that our life is not our own anymore. That we live for Him. And that we should be busy about what He wants done. Serving in the body. You know, there's all kinds of little ministries that can be done. We can do something. But when someone says, oh, I can't. And Sharon likes that. And on Thursday nights, I hear her say that. And I say, don't tell me you can't. It's not allowed anymore. And all of a sudden, she's starting to realize that she's more than what she thinks she is. And as she starts tapping in to the resources of the Holy Spirit within her, all of a sudden, something magnificent comes forth. It's like Lazarus rising from the tomb. And all we're doing is we have the privilege of unwrapping to set her free to be that beautiful person in Jesus Christ. We all have a piece to play in this puzzle. And that piece, when we're connected and we purpose to be in the church, the pieces begin to come into play when we become obedient to what God says. And sometimes when we come to the church, there's holes. And that's what discipling is about. To fill in those holes in a person's life. Not traditions and not rituals, but what the Word of God says, so that a person can be rooted and grounded in the teachings of the apostles and prophets, with Christ being the chief cornerstone, as Ephesians 2 says. You see, it's not enough to know about Jesus. You must know Him. You must build your life upon Him and upon the teachings of the apostles and prophets, which is love. If you're still stuck in loving yourself more than you love God and love the church, then you've got a lot of work to do. You see, God has given us the tools. He's not going to do all the work by Himself. And if you don't want Him to work in your life, He won't. But understand this. What a man sows, they shall reap. Be not deceived. God is not mocked.
Nobody likes me.
Why not?
Well, I don't know.
Nobody likes you because you're not likable. You think you need an adjustment with an attitude adjuster? You need your heart changed a little bit?
Oh, nobody understands me. Poor little me.
Well, have you ever taken the time to understand someone else who's in a lot worse shape than you? My parents always told me that, you know, you can bellyache and complain all you want, but there's always somebody that's worse off than you. Always. You just got to find them. And then you appreciate where you are. And that's the problem with this generation of believer, or make-believer. This generation of make-believer wants to attend church, doesn't want to be part of the church. But God is rising. And when God stands, He's going to raise a standard. And that standard is in Jesus Christ. He is raising up a generation, a Joshua generation, that is so emboldened that they could care less about what the world has to offer. They are more interested in becoming that person that God has created them and fulfilling the objective, which is completing the picture. Because when the picture is complete, we're out of here. We're gone. Color me gone. The choice is yours. I've made my choice. I'm plugged in. I want to relate. I want to be built up in my most holy faith. I want to become all that God wants me to become. And you know what? Down deep inside of you, so do you. There's a lot of work. You got to work with God and work with His Spirit to untangle your life. You've got to realize, and I think you do, that there's consequences to our decisions. And it doesn't mean that God's mad with us because we made some bonehead decisions in our life. What it means is that, you know what? When I give in to what I want, I will destroy myself. When I give in to what God wants, I not only receive life, I can give life to somebody else. I can give hope to somebody else. I can do something in which I don't have to manipulate. I don't have to coddle. I don't have to do anything except fall in love with Jesus each and every day and become that which He tells me to do. And you know what? He expects us to make mistakes, just like I made that mistake by not opening my mouth. I opened my mouth and it caused someone to get angry and leave. And did God do something? Yeah, He did something. He broke that spirit there and He used me. But how much more would it have been if I had kept my mouth shut and God moved mightily through His Spirit to redeem that person from a spirit of religion and tradition to really be filled with the Holy Spirit and fall in love? How much further would that have gone? How much further can we go? Who knows? God is limitless. No one will know the height or depth or breadth of God's love, because we can't exhaust it. But where we're safe and secure in is in the picture, not outside the picture. The choice is yours. That's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. Father, we just rejoice in you, Lord God. We thank you, God. And I pray, Father, that this object lesson would really just touch home, God. Show how important we are to you, God, that we are an integral part of your puzzle, Lord. As you said, we're these living stones being built into a temple, God, of worship to you. And that is so true, God. But I pray that in the simplicity of this illustration, God, that we would see ourselves as integral parts to the puzzle of creating something beautiful in you, Lord. God, forgive us for not treasuring our lives, God. Forgive us not for treasuring the awesomeness of your word, God, and our lives, God. How much you want to take pain and give us beauty, God. You want to take the ashes of our lives, God, and build something secure. God, you want to sweep away all the hurts and disappointments, God. And start building upon love, joy, and peace. God, forgive us for being so selfish and so self-centered, Lord God, and infantile in our behaviors. Forgive us, God, of our carnalities, Lord God, not living properly and treating each other the way you would treat us, Lord. God, I pray that today we would be a little more humble in our attitudes, but a lot more wiser in the purposes and plans of you, God, in these last days. I pray, God, that we would be bold as lions, God, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, compelling them, as you said, compel them to come in. That, God, that your kingdom would continue to grow, swallowing up the darkness, God, and allowing your marvelous light to penetrate, God, to the deepest realms of our hearts, Lord. I thank you for your people, God, and ask that you bless them richly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If there's anybody that would want prayer, I'd be more than happy to pray with you. You know? But I hope that today's lesson gives you a greater sense of importance, of how important you are to God in completing the puzzle. Amen?